This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for Season 16, Episode 11, titled Corporate Queens. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by one corporate cunt from Bravo, Bravo, effing Bravo. You know, I don't write those. I can't believe Zach wrote that. It's very rude. I don't agree with that. I just read what's here. From Bravo, Bravo, effing Bravo, please say...
Keep going, be funny, do something stupid. I'm not ready, but I'm ready.
To Mr. Nathan... Patrick Brown. It's Nathan. Hey, Joe, Patrick Brown.
Call me Nathan from finance if I'm a corporate queen.
Oh, yeah.
Just without the racist dolls.
What department are you really? Is there a name for your department that you're in, or does it give it away what you do?
Oh, I'm in government services.
So you're Nathan from government services?
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a cute name for it, like G? Well, also...
Gov.
We, as we know, the Australians love to shorten things. So what
we call
is,
it Gov services. Yeah. No one says government.
No one has Govy serves?
No.
Oh. You're very happy today.
Thank you.
We always get different Nathans, because there was one week, God. There was the week before when Jimmy, where you were very angry with me. People, I found out later that Nathan was really angry with me. He did, yes. He was like, well, obviously, you know, after the show, he's like, you know, I'm very angry with him. I'm like, oh, you are? And he goes, yeah, I'm very angry with you.
You're like, oh, it's one of Nathan's classic bits where I don't know it's a bit.
Did I say that?
Yes.
I think I did. I think I said, wait, is this real or is this one of your classic bits? I think is what I said. And then, people. By the way, these are not my words. I did not clock this. Nathan, I promise you, I didn't clock this. Even when I was editing. But people wrote to me and they're like, you could cut the sexual tension with a knife on that episode. And I was like, really? And they're like, oh, yeah. Adam and Nathan were just so, the tension, the sexual tension.
Oh, you on that episode as well, Joe.
I know, exactly. I could have taken the week off. I didn't realize
Shut up.
If you guys want to hear more classic bits from Nathan Patrick Brown, go over to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia and join at the, for JBug, it's executive tier level of above. The other resource you have is, you know, if you're only really wanting, let me give a tip. So as of this, because who knows what will happen years in the future and people go back and listen to this. As of March 2024, executive tier is $10 a month. And with that, you get everything at premium level. Plus you get Just Between Us Girls and occasional shows that come first before premium. Okay. But if you're like, I'm not interested in that. I don't want that. I just want Just Between Us Girls. The cheaper option is the Apple plan, the subscription plan, because you get Just Between Us Girls, and it's $6 a month.
Oh, a little money hack there, Joe.
Yeah, a little money hack there. You get a few savings there. You know what I might – well, I should announce this now because then people will be like, well, I'm just going to wait. Patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. Join now. You get all these great shows. Thank you. All right, let's just jump into the episode. This week, the girls spill the tea before leading HR seminars. And on the runway, the category is DragCon 1980s. On the main stage, Safira was named the winner of the challenge, while Morphine Love Dion and Maya Iman LePage were placed in the bottom two. After lip sync battle for their lives, Morphine was told, Shantae, you stay, while Maya Iman LePage was asked to sashay away. Nathan Patrick Brown, what did you think of that lip sync, and did the right queen go home?
First of all, congratulations, Joe, on predicting this. You said Morphine and Maya, there's a showdown, a brewing.
Well, look, I'm not a genius. I mean, they telegraphed it. In fact, I think what I said was they had telegraphed it so hard that if they didn't have them go face to face, it would be very disappointing. It would be like the opposite of Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, but it was worth it. I laughed and laughed and laughed when she threw that cape over Morphine and they slowed down the music and did the slow-mo and then she's throwing a tit at Maya. I mean, so yeah. Messy, but I really enjoyed that.
I have a weird, I wouldn't say conspiracy theory, because it means you need to conspire. So I'm going to say I have a weird guess about what happened there. Mm-hmm. I think Maya saw the writing on the wall and knew, sort of lighting herself on fire on the stage, she was going to go home.
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted to give herself, provide the excuse or the reason that wasn't her lip syncing, that she went home. So she could still hold her head up high. I would have won, but I did this thing to get back at her. You know, I sacrificed myself to show her, like, I own her.
Do you think Maya's that Machiavellian?
I see what you're saying. I think if you can extend that to a Machiavellian level, but I think that the premise of just preserving your own self-esteem or ego is basic enough that she could have done it. Because I feel there could have been a more Machiavellian way of doing it.
Okay, understood. Understood.
Yeah. Because that was weird.
It was. And my initial gut instinct...
In case people don't know what I'm talking about, there are some people who don't watch the show, they just listen. And so during the early parts of the lip sync, Maya, when the lip sync starts out, Maya's wearing this really flowy dress, but it comes apart as a skirt, really. And she takes it off. And as they're dancing, she takes the skirt off and then she drapes it over, kind of rudely, over Morphine as she's like posing.
And Morphine's like, it all went dark. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. It must have been a really weird sensation.
Yeah.
During that. So like, yeah, anyway, I'm sorry, I cut you off. What were you saying, Nathan?
Oh, my gut instinct, as soon as it happened, was to be like, oh, that's fucking dirty, don't do it. But then with the slow-mo sound effect and everything, like, I just couldn't help but lean into it and just think it was just so fun and funny. And then when Morphine got like so angry and started throwing shit back, I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah, we used to get those kind of those lip syncs in the early seasons. It was so nice to see it come back. Yeah, but then also Ross acting like a fool and like way overly surprised. Just like, oh! And when I saw that happen and I was just like. And Ross, I know this is not going to make sense to a lot of people, but he's starting to dress more and more like a 1970s fop. Like he's like Mr. Furley or something from Three's Company.
But also very Dorothy from Golden Girls, you know, with like the shoulder pads and like.
Yeah.
And covering up the neck.
Well, you know what it is if you notice, he's starting to gain the weight back. I noticed it this week. Remember, because I'll be honest with you, he looks better a little chunky. Remember when he was super thin and it was really weird looking?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he needs to be a little chunky. We like our Ross a little chunky.
You need some meat on them bones.
Yeah. He needs to be Ross Meat Fuse, not Ross. I don't have a lot. I don't have a word. Not Lost Matthews. I don't know. I have to work on that one.
Yeah. Well, in terms of if the right queen went home, I mean, yes. Like, it was her time. What can we say?
The right queen went home for episode 4. She should have been gone like episode 4 or 5. She stayed like 6 weeks too long. It was God embarrassing. Bless her. It was getting embarrassing. The lip sync was good. It was a good lip sync. And I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was fun to watch. Morphine is a very talented lip syncer. Here's the other thing, too. One of the things that Morphine did that was very clever was in the moment, like, yawning and showing, like, how boring this is, what Maya's doing. Because, like I said, even Maya, who's the queen of flips, you only have so many tricks up your sleeve. So at a certain point, we're just like, okay, we've seen this. Okay, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. Like, we've seen all these tricks.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, and so it was, they put someone competent, because here's the deal, and I'll talk about this later, but if I don't have time, sometimes I forget. I think you know, and I know, and the American people know, that it should have been Dawn versus Maya.
And the Australian people know it too, babe. We know that.
Australia's just like Southern Hemisphere US.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we all know this. That it should have been Dawn versus Maya. But there was a chance that Maya would send Dawn home. They couldn't deny
I think
it,
she absolutely you know? Would have sent Dawn home. Yeah.
And they don't want to lose Dawn right now. So I think they decided. Because, we're getting into the episode. I'm turning into Lori here. All right. Mm-hmm. After Saphira's win, the queens congratulate Saphira on her second win before Morphine snatches Saphira's wig. Meanwhile, Plain feels no regrets about her use of the immunity potion. Finally, Dawn shades Plain's look, which starts Plain off on a rant. It's a new day in the workroom and still a top seven, much to the girls' chagrin. Maya predicts Nymphia will be the next to go before RuPaul enters the workroom to announce this week's mini-challenge, Spill the Tea. Ru asks a series of questions and the girls vote for themselves or another queen. If they match the majority, they win $100, and the queen with the most money wins. Saphira's tea is the hottest, and she wins the mini-challenge. And finally, Rue announces this week's maxi-challenge. The queens need to create their own silly and sickening drag awareness employee seminars to present on the main stage. Teams and topics are assigned as follows. Plain and Q will be doing drag herstory. Maya and Dawn, drag in the workplace. Nymphia, Saphira, and Morphine. Are you a drag queen? You might be surprised. All right. A lot to break down here, Nathan. We crammed a lot in here. So we're going to take it piece by piece. We're going to make it digestible. If you had, let me ask you this. Well, remind me of the main stage challenge. Talk about something with the main stage challenge. This is why I need a line producer. Okay. Yeah, you can be both the line producer and the co-host. So on the main stage, here's the question for the main stage. You can think about this.
I'm going to have to get a notepad and write this shit down.
We get to the main stage part. If you had to teach a seminar, what would your seminar be on?
Oh, okay.
If you had to teach a seminar, what would your seminar be on?
Does it have to be drag related?
No, mine's not. Well, mine's going to be semi-drag related, but not really.
Okay.
Let's talk about everything that happened after Saphira won, the non-elimination challenge. Did you have any thoughts on anything that happened here? This is a big scene where it includes Plain yes. coming for Dawn and stuff. But any thoughts from this moment?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite segments of the episode. I don't know when it happened, but suddenly I'm a big Plain Jane fan again. Like, when she started coming for Dawn, I was eating it up, mama, sister. When she said, you're all concept and no gorgeousness to Dawn, I was like, well, she nailed it with that one. And like looking back on Dawn's little look last week, I was like, yeah, you know what? It is shit. Like, I don't know. Jane convinced me in that moment. I was like, yeah, fuck Dawn. And fuck Q. This Q, she drives me crazy. When she says to Plain, she goes, oh, do you wish you would have used the immunity potion on yourself? It's like, cunt, it was a non-elimination episode. Why would she want to turn back the clock and use it on herself? That makes no fucking sense. They're all crazy. Thinking that it, like, the judging and who was called out when mattered last week, when clearly they knew it was going to be a non-elimination when they were doing the judging. Otherwise, we would have had a different bottom. Like, everything would have been different. They're all fucked in their head. But I really enjoyed this segment. I thought it was fun.
Wow. It's like a whole, like, crazy monologue from Nathan Patrick Brown. Look at you. You really did have thoughts on this segment. It's very good. Well, let's take it piece by piece. First of all, because I want to give props to me. Which is pretty much should be the name of this podcast. And because weeks and weeks ago, when Q, Amanda, and Dawn were mean to this plasma, I was like, they're a bunch of fucking awful mean girls. And there wasn't quite the evidence to support it. And now it's like the edit is really supporting that. Amanda's gone. Mm-hmm. But Q and Dawn separately, they're not even together, but they're awful people. So let's talk about Q first. Q is two bad things. She's not a gracious winner, and she's a sore loser. And she could take a lesson from this. Morphine's feelings were completely hurt, and she was very disappointed that she did not have a win yet, and she was disappointed that she did not get the win on that episode when she was so close. But then she didn't act like a raging cunt. She was playful with Saphira. She could tell she was happy for Saphira. Was playfully taking her wig and whatnot, but was probably really in her feelings. Remember, we have to remember, this segment is really an extension of the last episode. So she's only less than an hour away from not winning. It's still raw when this happens. That's a gracious loser, this Morphine. Do you remember last week when the Q was the winner and she was an awful cunt? And then we already see previews for next week where she is just fucking pissed she didn't win. And she's going to go on a tear next week. She has a lot of fucking problems.
Oh, yeah.
And HIV's... Okay. Nathan just gave me a look. Why, Nathan?
Well, I think we should separate that from her being a terrible person.
Is her HIV status. Q.
Okay.
Okay. So I want to make this clear. Thank you.
Yeah, she's terrible. I hated her behavior at the end of the episode, which we can get to when we get to.
Well, we're going to get to that. And by the way, we've seen other examples of her being a sore loser.
Yeah, and I don't understand how she doesn't see that she's like within the machine right now. It's like, if you've already indicated that you're a sore winner, like a sore winner, bad loser, whatever, the producers are going to play into that. Like, how does she not see, like, begging for wins? They're not just going to give you a win. They're going to jan you.
Name, except for this Tyra Sanchez, name any of the other queens that won that have been, like, awful and rotted. The closest you might say is Violet Chachki, but she wasn't, like, a sore loser. She was just more like, I'm a horrible person. I just don't care about you. Right.
Yeah.
Like, but she wasn't a sore loser and an ungrateful winner. She was an ungracious winner. But because there's even a part, she's delusional. Q is delusional.
She is. Oh, it's just, it's the entitlement for me. Like, whether, like, you know, it's just that behavior where it's just like, you don't, you're not owed a win. Like, you're not a judge. They come back into the workroom every time acting like they're the judge, jury, and executioner. It's like, you're a contestant, mm-hmm. and you're at the whims, and no one owes you shit.
I was thinking, because one of the things I hate the most are people who break the golden rule, of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And what I mean is, this bitch is going after playing, like, teasing her, like, you know, taking the piss. And it's just like, you were on the bottom. You were the bottom. And then she's like, plasma lives on another planet, you know? And I'm like, you fucking cut. If someone, let me tell you this, they should be glad I wasn't on this season. If I was playing Jane, I'd go in this next episode and I would word for word do that to her. She's sobbing.
Oh yeah,
she saw me and be like, "You weren't the winner. That means you were on the bottom. Uh-huh. You're delusional if you think you're the winner." Blah, blah, blah. Oh.
Joe.
This is gonna be so great when I'm bleeping this out in the edit.
Okay.
Now, going to the Plane versus Dawn argument, you know, I'm touch and go with Plane. I can't stand this Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought of this, why I was so happy, and it probably nails why you were so happy. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
I think that's what's happened. Yes.
Yes. The enemy of my enemy. I can't even talk anymore. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And yeah. So now I'm like, yeah, Plane. Yeah.
Get up.
Get her, Jane. That's what I was saying. Okay, let's move on now. Let's talk about the mini challenge. Did you have any big thoughts on they go in the next day, and I just want to talk about this right now because it's very short. This Maya turns to the Nymphia and very quietly is like, "You're next." How does Maya look at Nymphia, who's been, except for Snatch Game, crushing it every episode? How is she looking and going, "Bitch, you're next"? You lip-synced four times, or three times by that point, and you lip-synced three times, and you're always in the bottom, and this one, except for one time, is crushing it, and you're like, "You're next."
And just to say that with your full chest but your low voice, like, it's just such a disparity. Like, how are you so confident and yet so meek at the same time?
Yeah, it's so weird. It's almost more evil and distressing. So the mini challenge is RuPaul posed a bunch of questions. They had different paddles that had a different queen's face on them. And they would vote. And it was really complicated. It's not really important to this. But let's get to the mini challenge. Nathan, did you like this mini challenge?
Not really. It was just quite pointless. And I didn't get so many like laughs out of it. There were a few moments where I was like, oh, I didn't think that was the answer. Like when they seemed to like the majority of them said like Nymphia was the most passive aggressive. That's not a side of her I've particularly seen yet. Like, I would have thought that'd be someone more like a Q, but we see different sides of these people than they do, I guess.
We see different sides. And also, this is a really dumb cast. Yeah. And so I could be seeing like not understanding what passive aggressive means. And they heard passive and they're like, well, she's really girly. You know, like, let's be honest. I don't know if necessarily all of them got it. All right. And then let's take now the next segment we have to talk about. Is when RuPaul announced the Maxi Challenge. I didn't really have any notes on the announcement of the Maxi Challenge. I don't know if you did.
Well, I thought it was interesting that Ru just teamed up people and assigned the categories. So as soon as I saw Maya and Dawn together, I was like, oh, welcome to the bottom too. So I don't know. It felt shenanigan-y. But then they judged as individuals anyway, so I don't really...
Well, but notice, this, I thought about that, you saying that. I think that they... Because you would think if this is really a thing that we're doing, that we're going to judge them as individuals, why not tell them in the Maxi Challenge announcement? But they save it for the main stage.
Mm-hmm.
They save it for the main stage so that they have some wiggle room. So if they don't, and I don't know what reasons they wouldn't want to, but if they don't want it to be, if they want to be by teams, then they're judged as teams. If they want it to be individually, which they wanted that this week, then it's that's the way it is. Because they don't want to lose Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, didn't I say to bring up something during the Maxi Challenge?
What you would teach a seminar on.
Yeah, what would you teach a seminar on? Well, wait, I want you to add another note for the line producer here.
Oh, Jesus, all right.
Remind me to talk about this topic when we get to Maya and Dawn in the workroom. Thank you. Go ahead.
What topic?
About why they put Maya and Dawn together.
Oh, okay.
what were we talking about? Oh, Maxi Challenge. What do you think you could teach?
Well, I've been doing that stupid Breaking Down Bad Books podcast for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
Which has pretty much ended now because I finally finished reading all of Stephanie Meyer's bibliography. And
so now you have no podcasts.
Well, I got Bravo, effing Bravo.
Okay.
But I'm probably now an expert on why Twilight is so shit. So maybe I could talk about that.
Okay, so you would do a podcast lesson on what? Oh, on the Twilight series. Okay.
Yeah, well, I just think, you know how they say if you put 200 hours or something into something, you're an expert. Well, I was like, I've done that.
Yeah.
So there you go.
10,000 hours, but yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the rest of the episode. Here we go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back. I'm going to tell you guys right now, if you're listening on the public feed, I told you this. I told you this when we plugged Patreon that this happens. And today I think is one of those, I'm in the middle of the show recording it, so I don't know. But I think this is one of those days where like the public feed is getting a much shorter show than the Patreon page. The Patreon page, even though, so everyone should know, I did a huge long rant on this YouTube show, Drag Tea Served with Matt. Which, if I don't put in the public feed, he probably won't ever hear. And I want him to hear it. I want him to know. Cersei. Yeah, tell Cersei. I want her. I want him to know it's me. But I probably won't. It was we went very long just bitching about Drag Tea.
It wasn't
Nathan started it. I know he's right. I was like in the workroom, and Nathan was like, "Hold on, Joe. I want to talk about this rotted cunt drag tea served with Matt." And I was like, oh, okay, we got some time. And then it was like, watch the clock go by. Like, imagine in Twilight New Moon, the calendars go by, like Bella's calendar. And exactly. Then it was like, okay, well, we got to take a break, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe well, it just went off.
I do have a note. Would you like to talk about why Dawn and Maya were put together on a team?
Oh, yeah, we'll do the workroom. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. In the workroom, the teams get to work outlining their seminars. Dawn and Maya struggle to cement a plan, and Plain Jane shared she made a PowerPoint to teach her mom about drag and Plain's decision to become a drag queen. Next, Michelle brings Joel Kim Booster to the workroom to perform the table visits. Q and Plain appear confident that they'll work together. Dawn hopes to use her office job days as inspiration. And finally, on Team Saphira, Nymphia, and Maya, Maya's drag brunch joke gets no laughs, and Joel asks how they'll balance three personalities and make sure no one gets overshadowed. You know, before we get into anything, I just realized when I was reading this, they were all thirsty for this Joel Kim Booster. Were you down with JKB?
I could fuck with JKB, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that Fire Island movie, and I thought he was good. Mm-hmm. Some of the cast I found insufferable, but I think he's pretty good.
Okay. So,
I mean, what about you? Do you find him funny?
You know, I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen his stuff, because I avoid Asian people content. But... Oh, boy. Okay, everyone knows it's not true. In fact, I think I've only been seeing Chinese movies, so that's not true.
Anyway, name one.
In the Mood for Love, I just saw last week or 2 weeks ago.
Okay,
I saw Chungking Express. Yeah.
Okay.
And then maybe this morning I did watch Cream of Samyanggae. You know. Okay. I don't want to say what kind of movie that is.
All right.
Okay.
What about Kung Fu Panda 4? Are you going to go watch that?
I don't like Asian people.
Oh, stop. Okay, what were you saying? Okay. Oh, yeah. You don't find him funny because you don't know
him. I don't know anything about him. But what I will say is, God, I'm sure there's other people. Coming from a comedian who often gives advice on comedy, spot fucking on. Nailed it. All his tips were first rate, exactly what someone with comedy experience gives. It was great. I think he was a great guest judge, a fantastic one. I thought his insights were on point, specifically the ones about comedy in the workroom, on the main stage. They were all on point. I agreed with him 100%. Okay, but let's talk about the workroom first. Did you have any thoughts on the workroom?
Yeah, well, first of all, I have to say, I do not believe that Plain Jane made a presentation to her mom to show her why she wanted to be a drag queen. I just think never happened. I don't know why Plain does this where she just tells random fucking stories like she's on the tea or something. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. That never happened.
Yeah. I agree. In fact, I have a presentation about it.
I also think it was weird how Dawn thinks she's going to win every challenge because she has an engineering degree. She seems to bring that up. When I don't think it's that applicable.
Like, she can't even engineer win.
Exactly. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm used to doing presentations. And it's like, this isn't actually a challenge designed for you to make a PowerPoint presentation and present it. Like, it's to be funny doing so, Dawn. So, do you have a degree in that? I don't think so.
You were supposed to give me my note here.
So, I also want to talk about why Dawn and Maya were paired together.
Yeah. I just love, why they are paired together? I'll tell you. I forgot that was the angle of the question. They were paired together because I think the producers know Dawn is not funny at this, not good at this stuff. And I think it would almost be like a teacher putting a kid who always copies off the other person's homework next to the dumb kid.
Yeah.
Because Maya straight up says in her confessional that she's going to, like, basically copy off and let Dawn do all the work. She goes, like, I don't really know about presentation, but, you know, Dawn said she does. So, I'm going to let her take the lead on this one. Bitch, what have you taken the lead on?
Maybe the Cory. Did she do the Cory for, the first girl group challenge thing?
I don't know what she did. I don't care about her. But let me tell you this. She openly said she's going to let Dawn be her Saphira. She wants everyone to help her. Then maybe Dawn was like not wanting to do it, but I think it was to like, in order to like maybe survive, she probably had to help a lot. And that was the wrong person to help because that's why they paired them together. If they would have put Maya, who else did they put her with? Nymphia? That could have been a disaster. Saphira would have just done all the work. Morphine would have had enough personality to carry them. Plain Jane and Q, 100%. So the only person they could put her with to help ease her towards the bottom, where she should have been, so they can get rid of her, was this Dawn.
Yeah, I agree.
And that was probably Dawn's consolation prize, letting her survive.
I found it interesting that, like, even with the critiques, Dawn only got positive critiques in comparison with Maya. Like, it was prefaced with, oh, Maya was so terrible and you were okay, so great job this week. So it's like, she did not shine.
No. But they did give her credit. I think in the when they were deliberating, they were like, well, she did have to put a lot of her energy to carrying, you know, Maya.
But she also, as you said, like, Saphira would have carried Maya in a way that they both shone. I think.
Yeah.
I think Dawn kind of threw her under the bus.
Well, because Dawn low-key is really the villain, but also, you know, her strength is sewing. And so I think previously she's relied on other people to help carry her through these acting and performance challenges.
Yeah.
So once she was, it was mutually a disadvantage for them to be with each other. Because Dawn would have done the same thing with the other queens, is let them take the lead. And then she would just, you know, there's a part where Dawn's projecting, because there's a part early on where Dawn, no, that's actually in this scene, in this segment, where Dawn's talking about Plain and Q. And she says, Plain is really good at writing jokes, and Q is really good at reading the jokes, or something like that.
Oh, yeah. And then she went, oh, did I just say that?
But that's Dawn, too.
Yeah.
That's Dawn. Thank you. With an engineering degree. The show seems to make fun of Morphine for not knowing what a seminar is, which, okay, look, weird. But she's a fucking drag queen. Why would she need to know what a seminar is?
Yeah. I love a little dumb drag queen. Like, yeah, she knows her lane. She's sticking to it. She knows a lot about, like, makeup and stuff that we don't know about. So who cares if she doesn't know words?
She's a dummy. We love her. Okay, table visits. What did you think of the table visits?
Well, I thought it was interesting that it was Michelle doing that. I was sort of thinking, like, oh, was this, like, one of her little practice runs for Drag Race Down Under? Like, where was Rue at?
I think this is one of those challenges that they did in a day.
Oh, that makes sense.
So that Rue was there in the morning.
Getting ready.
Put him on the challenge. Maybe even an early start time. Started him on the challenge and then went to go get ready. Kind of takes her a long time to get ready. So then Rue and Joel came in. Because also, they're not going to book Joel Kim Booster for 2 days. Wait. Sorry, that cream of some young guy came back up. Okay. By the way, me doing the tip. Actually, I'm going to keep this in the show. I'm going to keep this. I usually edit this out. I'm going to keep this in the show, because this is what Joel was talking about, that when you mess up or you lose your place or you fuck up, you turn that into a joke.
You don't say podcaster flopping.
I guess I can't talk on the mic anymore. You know, you turn that into a joke. Okay. What were we talking about?
You think it was a one-day special?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
So that's why Rue wasn't there and Michelle did it.
You're not going to book Joel for 2 days. He's not going to come for two whole days, you know? Because also, where they film this is very far from central LA. It's like a 40-minute drive. So I think this is one of those days where, so Rue had to get ready. Michelle went in and did the walkthrough. Joel went with her. He's there already to film. And they just did it all in one day.
That makes sense, because I didn't get the impression that a lot of them had, like, slept on it overnight and come up with better jokes.
No. And they probably could have had, like, an hour with, you know, probably a few graphic designers or production people there who helped make them make the slides.
I wouldn't call them professional graphic designers. No.
But you know what I mean? Like, someone who knew how to use... Okay, I shouldn't say professional. They had people there. They said, do this with the slide. And they just made it, you know?
Yeah, like a little millennial intern.
Any other thoughts on table visits?
Yeah. Can we talk about how when they do the table visit with Q and Plain Jane... Q is like, oh my god, Plain Jane's so delusional, thinking she's always going to be in the top and that she deserves to be in the top. I was like, are you such a fucking hypocrite?
They should change her name to Hector.
Hector Projector.
Yes. Hector Projector, Nathan.
It's honestly astounding to watch in real time. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's what the HIV...
Joe.
Nathan. I'm bleeping all these jokes out. People are just going to guess what the awful joke is. You know what's funny? Is they're going to make up way more offensive jokes.
Oh, it'll be
worse.
Yeah.
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 Like, for instance, if I say, like, they're thinking some horrible word that I just said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't say that word.
Mm-hmm.
Or did I? Please. Hard R. Hard R on that word, Nathan. Did you hear it?
You can't say the R word either.
Maya's never been on a microphone in her fucking life.
Not once.
I say funny things like, hey, there's a drag show here. Promise you won't catch the gay.
And you know how like Rue's critique for her was like, oh, I just wanted you to be like you with your mama and your cousins. But I think Maya would be the exact same with her family.
No, that I think that's going to be. In fact, I'm going to announce this in the show right now. The whole race thing this week is a Rulaska thoughts topic.
Yeah.
I can't even tackle it here. And yes, no, yes, no. You know, you love going off on this Michelle Visage, Nathan.
I haven't in a while.
And I'm surprised you even brought this up. Because she was very on fire this episode.
Was she?
And she, yeah. And she did this thing with Joel Kimbusa that she always does, where somebody, Rue, she'll do it with Rue a lot too, where they'll make or a guest judge, they'll make a very like winky joke, a joke where you're like, huh? Right? Like they know what they're doing. And then she's like, you know, gilding the lily and saying the same punchline as the joke.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So like on this one, Joel Kim Booster says something along the lines of like, well, when I've been in threesomes, like he obviously means in like a three comedians thing, but he's using the term threesome, ha ha ha, funny way. And she goes, oh, Joel,
yeah,
careful what you say. What kind of threesome are you talking about? Like, yeah, cunt, that's the fucking joke. Yeah. And she did it on the main stage a few times too, where like someone said some sort of double entendre and she'd be like, you mean dick? Or like, I don't know, whatever she said. Right? Yeah, genius.
I hate when like someone will just say a joke or a line and she just goes, ha, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, she's bringing that laugh back.
What does that add to it, Michelle?
Nothing. Anyway, and then one last thing I want to mention on this moment is Morphine says at one part, she goes, oh, in front of a live audience, live audiences are hard. And I go, no, 100% make it easier, actually, in this circumstance. That's
what I was thinking.
Yes.
It would have been terrible without an audience.
It's harder to ask any comic who had to do shows during the pandemic on Zoom.
Oh, dreadful.
Yeah, there's no audience. You rely on the audience feedback when you're doing, you're relying on their energy when you're doing. You know, what's so funny is I know someone who wrote like a little short play that's going to be in like a showcase of plays. And he was telling me about how, oh, he went to the dress rehearsal and this and that and the blah, 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 blah. And I was telling him, I go, too bad this is only one night. I said, because that's what these Broadway shows rely on is on the preview, because once you get in front of a live audience, you start to really learn what works, what doesn't work.
Shit changes.
And you can adjust it and change it and improve it. Or, oh, that person's a big deal. There was a musical, an old musical, where there was a person who was only supposed to be like a minor character in the musical. And in previews, they were just crushing it. So they increased that person's role.
Barbara in I Can Get It For You For Wholesale?
That true? I don't know.
Well, I think in previews, she was, well, I think she only has one big number, but she was the big star of it. But like, it was meant to be like a dance thing. And she was like, I'm going to do it all in the office chair. And that director was like, no, you fucking bitch. And she's like, you know what? I think I'm going to try it. And then in previews, they tried it and it killed. Just like her rolling around the stage. And so then that carried on.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, these live audiences are really, really important. All right, let's move on. It's elimination day, and the girls get ready for the runway. Q and Plain remain confident in their material. Nymphia and Maya hype each other up, and Dawn feels she and Maya are bringing two totally opposite personalities to their seminar. Finally, Q reveals her HIV-positive status with the girls, shares her experience within the queer community, and mentions her runway look will be in remembrance of the AIDS epidemic. Nathan, let's talk about everything Elimination Day. What's funny is I literally have on here, and so much happened, but I literally have on here, and this is unusual. I don't do this often. It says no notes. I have no notes on Elimination Day.
Yeah, I only have a couple. One, I was really trying to see if we would spot Dawn without a hat, and we didn't, because you said she was maybe bald. And when I saw her putting on makeup with like a trucker hat on, I was like, oh, Joe might be onto something here.
Yeah, well, you know what's so funny is she's usually pretty good with the bangs, But actually, if you look at her, because now I'm obsessed with her having no hair. If you look at her on the table visits, her bangs are a lot wispier than usual.
Mm, I saw that too.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, there's not a lot there. And that was, you know what else I was thinking? Lori says this, and I'm always like, what are you talking about? I think if I fucked Dawn, she would break in two. And I'm not even saying because I have like a huge dick. I just think she seems very gentle.
I don't think she has enough calcium in her diet, honestly.
No, I'm really worried about her. I bet you she, you know what? She looks like one of the girls that works at a vegan bakery.
Yeah.
So I bet you she doesn't, and she looks like someone who would like be like, oh, I only eat cocoa butter, you know, or something like that. Uh-huh. And did a cow look at this? Because then I can't eat it. So I think she looks like one of those people. And so I wouldn't be surprised if she has like very brittle bones.
Yeah. And I think Q revealing her status was like, it was a nice moment. What I like so much about it probably is that it wasn't overblown like in previous seasons, like where it's like, oh my God, and everyone sort of rallies around and hugs as if it's like a death sentence. You know, I like how we've sort of moved on from presenting that reveal in that way, where it's just a bit more normalized and destigmatized. But having said that, it also was kind of like, oh, okay. And then I've got no more notes. You know what I mean? Like it just happened.
This is one of those cases that I'm not going to make jokes about HIV. I don't do that. But I've seen some comments online criticizing Plain's response to her announcement. And that Plain was sort of not dismissive, but not, you know, like crying. I don't know what they wanted Plain to do, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the way to do it, though.
Yeah, it is. And in my opinion, for me at least. And I don't want to say too much because I'm not that educated on the topic. I'm being serious now. Like, I have made jokes. I'll be honest with you guys. I've made some pretty offensive jokes about HIV this episode. Okay? I don't know if you guys know that. But in fact, the fact that I'm able to make those jokes so cavalierly is a testament to what you're saying, Nathan, and the way Plain had that response. And I've had people come out to me as HIV positive as well.
I don't know if the point of the destigmatization campaign was so that you could make jokes about it. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
No, that was the whole point. Fauci told me. Mm-hmm. You know that book, And the Band Played On? The whole title was, And the Band Played On. Also, Joe can make jokes now. And one of my goals is to get educated on this topic between now and Monday. Like, I'm going to go to medical school between now and Monday. No, I'm going to call friends of mine who work in this field. And sure. I want to be educated on this because in my head, and it could be totally ill-informed, misinformed, but that we have HIV now, especially if it's caught early enough, at the stage where it's a chronic illness now that you just have to take care of. And if you take care of it, you can live a normal, healthy life like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right. It's not the death sentence that it used to be. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I predict in our lifetime that we'll see a cure for it or a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're really close. And so I'm actually working on one.
Oh, you are?
I have a laboratory here behind me and I've been working on one the whole time.
Well, get off this podcast and get to work.
No, this is more important. But I was very close to a cure earlier today and then I was like, shit, I got to pull clip zero. And so I stopped and I didn't do it. But yeah, so I have a similar reaction where I have friends who are HIV positive and, you know, look, I'm there for them. I hug them. I won't, but you know, Nathan, why the eye roll?
Well, I think it is a very sensitive subject, like in our community. Like I just think that it always will be. And I think she's still very brave for sharing that so publicly. And I think people being open about it does, you know, have a flow on effect where it becomes more normalized and more people understand and get educated, etc. But yeah, it is nice to sort of underplay it in this episode. You know, like I just remember, was it, I don't know, some, was it Angina? like way back in season one, and it was like a stop everything, let's like really cry and rally around her. And I don't think we need that anymore.
Even Monica Beverly Hills season four, you know?
Was that about her being trans though? Not-
oh, is there a difference? Trans doesn't mean being HIV positive?
But it was that kind of reaction. I know what you mean.
Yeah. In both cases, I don't care.
Well, but that's the thing. She's still a rotted person. So it's like, I'm like, good for you. You're very brave. Thank you for sharing. I hate you because you're entitled. It's a delicate little balance.
Yeah. Well, also, I think it became very obvious. And I think Q mentioning it on the main stage may have lost her the challenge, because I think it became very obvious she was using it to telegraph a story to them of why she should win it. And I think that's when RuPaul's like, no, bitch.
Don't manipulate.
You're not going to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will give you your flowers right now, and then now you're not going to win.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about these drag queen seminars. Do you have any big thoughts on them, Nathan?
I honestly thought they all sucked. I didn't enjoy them. I didn't find them funny or clever. I think the best bit was the slides joke, and I saw that in the preview last week. So, like, they got my laugh last week. This week, I didn't laugh.
Oh, because you're usually on top of this stuff. Have you seen that people have accused her of copying Katya?
I did see that, yes. Well, I do think it is sort of like one of those jokes where it's... they clearly didn't come up with that. We've all heard that before. I didn't realize it was Katya.
Yeah, like, well, look, Katya copies jokes, so...
Well, yeah.
So, I think that joke's... maybe in the world of seminars is as old as dirt.
But it was a good delivery. Like, I thought that was probably the best moment of all three. But other than that, I didn't think they were good.
So I have, it runs the gamut with me. I don't think they were good either, because they were done in one day. But with Plain and Q, I thought they were polished, but they were too polished. So the jokes, first of all, were not good. They were selling them. They were selling these jokes, but they weren't good jokes. And I think when you're that polished, you lack authenticity. It's the same reason, again, going back to stand-up comedy, you'll see actors who become stand-up comics, and they're so used to memorizing a monologue, they'll write out the comedy and they'll memorize it like a monologue, and it sounds like you're doing a monologue. Mm-hmm. You know, so stand-up comedy needs to feel more visceral. And I think this is the problem they had, is that the jokes, first of all, weren't good. Yes, they were polished, and yes, they didn't fuck up and say welcome, but it lacked any sort of authenticity or relatability.
Yeah, I felt that when they were like, thank you, Dr. Cute, and thank you, Dr. Plain, thanks, Doctor, but that didn't go anywhere. So I was just like, why is this banter in here if it's not bantering?
And then they committed the grave sin that I have with drag queen bits.
They kissed.
They kissed and made out at the end. It's either they get in a fight or they make out at the end.
Yeah, they didn't need that.
No. Dawn and Maya were both awful. Maya was worse. But Dawn was struggling. She was trying to... we were watching two people drown. That's what we were doing.
Yeah, I like Dawn's wig, and that was about it.
For Saphira, Nymphia, and Morphine, I actually thought this was the best one, because the jokes may not have been as good, but they felt more... not totally authentic, but they felt more authentic. They felt more their genuine selves than Q and Plain did. Okay.
Do you think it was a benefit having three people rather than two?
It could have been, yeah. Because then you could... it's not as relying on one another. One person got to take a breath at least, you know, at least. I will say, you know, and again, we'll discuss the race side of it. I'll try and get an Asian person on Rulaska Thoughts, because I don't feel comfortable talking about the Asian stuff. But Nymphia was doing her Asian minstrel show on the stage, and RuPaul, guys, RuPaul fucking loves that shit. Yeah. Nymphia was not wrong for doing it, even though it made the other judges... no, it made Ross and Michelle particularly uncomfortable. Joel was fine with it. Ru was loving it, you know?
Yeah.
But this one was the best one for me, actually. So Saphira was the best one in the group. Saphira winning makes total sense for me.
Even though she flubbed a line like a welcome, which would normally send someone home, she still had it because she carried it. I think
I was going to say that's why they were allowed to carry note cards, because the same day thing.
Mm.
And I think maybe there's a little bit more grace because it was such a rushed, we're going to do this in one day thing. But go ahead, Nathan, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just thinking, in terms of like an actual seminar, I don't know what the fuck they were talking about though. They're like, you may be a drag queen. That one made the least sense. I think Plain and Q's made the most sense. And Dawn and Maya, I'm not sure that why that was the approach they took with drag in the workplace. Like, you might be working with a drag queen. Here's how to protect yourself. Like, that didn't make sense.
You thought of it way more than I did. I think for them and for me, I didn't see the forest for the trees. I saw the jokes, couldn't tell you what they were fucking talking about. Because it made no sense. It was not tied to reality.
Well, yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't. And I also think the graphic design intern set up, again, Maya and Dawn to fail because they had like this terrible like white font on a green background. It looked shit. Whereas the slides for Plain and Q, they looked better. Just like in font decisions, they looked better.
I love that you thought that they were really judging the slides and the thing. I love that for you.
Well, I mean, they did though. Like in the critiques, like one of, like this is the Q thought she should have won, but her biggest like positive critique was the timing of the slides was good. So it's like, well, don't. Come on, Q.
Q the sniper. Q, all right.
Okay. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you, yeah. The looks, what do you think of the looks?
Well, let's talk about Maya. Because as soon as she walked out and she said she just Googled DragCon 1980 and she just picked the look that popped up and she added flowers to the shoulders because she's like, I can't just wear that, I'll add flowers. Like, that was so fucking funny to me. And then I tried to Google it and I couldn't quite find it. So I went on Twitter and I said, has anyone seen this? You know, and someone said it was an AI-generated image.
Yeah, they solved the mystery. There was some sort of artist or somebody who about a year ago put show Drag Race if it was in the 1980s.
And she picked out
this look and it was that look. Yeah.
But and my question is, now I'm trying to think, like, when Maya sat down at her little laptop and she Googled DragCon 1980, did she think there was a DragCon in 1980? Like, I know drag existed, but did she think there was a DragCon?
My real theory on that is based on how she does things in the show. And on the show, she relies on other people to do her work for her. So yeah. I think whoever she hired told her, I Googled, you know, no, but the designers probably also clued in to see these Twitter feeds and stuff, but then probably had it there.
Yeah.
And said, yeah, I found this. You know what it was? I know this is a very my mom thing to do. The designer, whoever she had, she was talking to, said, look at this image. I found it online.
Mm-hmm.
And she turned that into, I Googled DragCon in the 1980s.
Yeah. And only now watching it back, she's realizing it was based off of an AI image.
I still don't think she's aware of it, if I'm being honest with you. She doesn't seem...
She's camp.
Yeah. She doesn't have the brightest bulb. Any other thoughts on the looks?
Well, I think Q did look really good. I thought that was a very good look. Yeah. I mean, her looks are pretty good. But Nymphia, I think, just hits it out of the park more than anybody else. I thought it was just... She's just on another level. And I don't think she's done any look that I've not really liked.
Yeah.
And the rest were okay. Dawn, all concept, no gorgeousness. And I'll leave it at that.
Let's go. Well, let's go into the main stage. I have something to say that usually I never have notes on the main stage. And I actually have one of my second longest thing of notes is main stage. On the main stage, Rue named Saphira the winner of the challenge before placing Maya and Morphine in the bottom two, forcing them to square off in a lip sync battle for their lives. The song Dim the Lights by Donna Summer. In the end, Morphine Love Dion is told Shantae you stay, while Maya Iman LePage is asked to sashay away Nathan. Any thoughts on the main stage? Any final thoughts on this episode? What are your thoughts here?
The big thing was Q not winning, which I think is a fantastic production choice. Like, I think I even said last week, I was like, oh, I wish Q didn't win because that would be great. And here it's coming to fruition. And when Rue announced that Saphira won, which I think deservedly enough, like, yeah, she won. Who cares? Everyone sort of clapped except for Q. And then, like, at the very end, on a wide shot, Q did, like, two little golf claps. And I just thought that was so fucking rude. And then she had the gall to say to Saphira's face, I'm happy for you, but I'm gagged. Which I think is just the height of rudeness. And if I was Saphira, I'd be fucking pissed at that. And I cannot wait to see the fallout. I think Saphira is too gracious to actually, like, call her out and be angry about it, but I would. Like, I think any other reasonable person would, but Saphira, I don't know. She is on a different moral high ground than us, but I think she deserves to be plucked.
I've seen online, too. I haven't watched Untucked yet, but the opening shot of Untucked is Q pretty much walking backstage, like, already taking her victory walk. And, like, so sure she's going to win and talking about it. And so that must have been, oh, God, next week is going to be a nightmare.
I can't wait for it.
Well, it's great that we have Taylor the Latte Boy as a guest co-host because we can psychoanalyze the shit out of it next time. I love on the main stage that this – I love when there's subtle cuntiness on the judges panel. So the part where Michelle says to Dawn, this isn't 1980s. And then right immediately after a joke, RuPaul goes, this is exactly an outfit from Zig Zig Sputnik. Oh, Zig Zig Sputnik. And I looked it up, a band from the 1980s?
Yeah, I tried to fact check as well.
They're directly from the 1980s? Ru was right, because Ru knows that world.
Ru was right.
Well, Michelle was around that world too. You would think she would know, but yeah.
Michelle, let's go off on fucking Michelle. I'm sick of her. I don't think she should be hosting Down Under. I don't know if this is going to be a Alaska Thoughts topic or something, but like, it should have gone to Courtney Act or an Australian or a Kiwi. Like, I just think it's laughable that they would promote Michelle Visage, who's not a drag queen. Like, only drag queens can talk about drag queens, Joe. And I just hate that decision.
Well, here's my question. Are there any other famous, really gay Australian people besides Courtney Act?
You could have gotten Barry Humphries if he weren't dead.
Okay, yeah, Dame, guys, if Barry Humphries was 20 years younger, Dame Edna would have been the greatest host of Drag Race to ever live.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Anybody else?
I think, well, let me just, I can't remember
Robert
the name.
Irwin?
Robert Irwin would have been great. Wait, there's Carlotta. Do you know this Carlotta?
No.
She is...
What about the stingray that killed Steve Irwin? Could she host it?
No. Well, Carlotta's this like transgender cabaret artist who I think would have been good, even though I had to Google her to actually fact check the name was correct.
They ate my baby lady?
Azaria? Chamber. Oh, wait, no, she's the one that died. She was the baby. Lindsay. Lindy?
Lindsay.
Lindy.
What? Lindy Irwin.
Chamberlain.
They should make Lindy Chamberlain the host.
And instead of sashay away, it's like sashay away and a dingo ate your baby.
No, just have a dingo come out and eat him. The dingo comes out and drags him off the stage.
I just think this Michelle's going to be terrible.
You don't want to comment on that, Nathan?
About the dinger? No, not really. I just think, like, oh, wait, we're replacing an American with another American. Woohoo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's got no charisma. She's got no uniqueness.
No nerve or talent?
No. She might have a little bit of talent. She's got some fucking nerve to be hosting Drag Race Down Under. That's what she's got.
I know this is going to sound really rich coming from me, but Michelle was particularly bad at this on this episode, but using Gen Z words that her daughters are using.
That's a bit rich, Joe.
I know. And she was like, this outfit gave me life. And I was like, oh.
It was a bit cringe. There was no Riz.
Cringe. Yeah. You don't have the Riz to pull that off, Michelle. You know? It was giving me pick me vibes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I get in trouble for the pick me vibe. I'm banned from saying it, by the way. Okay. And this will come up in the racing, but I want to mention it here. I love how they're like, I don't know how I feel about Nymphia. I don't want to touch it because we're not Asian. We shouldn't be saying this, blah, 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 blah. And Rue, and you brought this up earlier, is telling Maya, you should have been the cousin.
Yeah.
You should have done it like you were telling her. I'm like, oh, you're basically asking Maya to do a minstrel show right here.
Yeah.
On Drag Race.
Yeah, it was the critique around Nymphia was really weird. It was just like, watching it, it felt like Michelle and Ross were like, oh, we have to acknowledge it so we don't get cancelled, kind of a thing. Whereas Joel Kim was just sitting there like, I was like, he didn't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's his place to comment on it, blah, 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 but like.
But where was the anger when or the uncomfortableness when earlier in the season, Maya did the cousin thing or whatever,
the cousin
snatch game. And then Jane did some sort of weird action where she was like Selena or something like that. Do you remember this? On the mini challenge, and no one was mad then. And it's all bullshit. It's all made up. It's all performative. It's virtue signaling.
That's what it was. Yeah.
It's virtue signaling. And by the way, just to comment on the very end, I was watching this. I think everybody was, because I've seen it all over online too. When RuPaul's, now let the music play. And Q is giving the least amount. Like, everyone's dancing and she's just like, essentially, like, I have to contractually walk on here and maybe move to a rhythm, but that's all I'm giving you.
Yeah. So do you think she thinks, because she did well in the challenge, allegedly, because she revealed her status and her look was amazing and it was tied into, like, an AIDS ribbon, do you think that's why she thinks she should have won? Or does she, I mean, she generally always thinks she should win, but, like, is she extra plucked because she took that step and revealed her status?
I think it's twofold. I think the comments were leading her to believe that she was the best and she was going to win, because she changes it later to, like, if it would have been Jane, I would have been fine. But she's specifically talking about herself. She's very upset for herself.
Yes.
And I think she was just gagged because she thought she was the winner. You know, there's that part. But I think there's another part that is, she wanted to be the first one with three wins. She wanted to have three wins. And even now it's killing her, because I've already seen people online saying things. I mean, they already know how it all unfolded, but there are people online going like, just give Safira the crown. She's in the Bianca, Bob the Drag Queen circle now with the three wins and blah, 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 blah. And I'm sure that's currently eating Q up. I don't know where Q goes in this situation, but I'm sure it's eating Q the fuck up. And so she knows that to get three wins. So it's not even, it's actually in her head losing two times. In her head, she's losing this challenge, but now Safira is clearly
the front runner.
The front runner to win this thing, ahead of her, where before it was always a toss up.
That's DeLulu.
Yeah. It's Tulu.
I'm not often, like, excited to see the workroom fallout after an episode, like at the start of the next episode next week, but I'm really excited.
Well, don't they release the preview during the week? I don't pay attention now, but, like, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I don't tend to watch it, though.
I don't watch it either. I'm like, I'm
but maybe this week I will.
Maybe you will. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week and every week as we continue to discuss that. Wait, hold on.
As we drag queen flopping, discuss- podcast of flopping.
Drag queen flopping. I guess I gotta go. Okay. As we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 16. So for Nathan Patrick Brown and myself.
Hey, it's free to come in. You can't catch the gay.
Thank you for listening to Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Leave us a voicemail at speakput.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can also email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us over at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. This podcast was produced by Zach Birch. Nathan Brown has another podcast. It's called Bravo, Bravo, Effing Bravo. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nathan Brown on Instagram at NathanBrown90. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. Special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters. Alex S. Anonymous. April Pacheco. Astute Girl. Brad Coley. Filsket Pony, Deckhead, Doofus Maximus, E. Smith, Elizabeth Tinner, Emma, Humble Pie, Isaac Martin, Jade Thomas Plank, Jesse Harris, Kathy Zender, Lauren Eckert, Lucy Carrasco, Luke Stamen, Mike Yeager, Nikki Baker, Poppy Woods, Ricardo the Hood Edda, Robert NYC, Sarah Yu, Runner Brandon, Tom Bombs, Travi Cosmos, Troy Anderson, and Zach Nelson. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.